very good Friday. Welcome to this edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Coming up in the show here today, we'll bring you feature agricultural news reports, and then we'll check in with national and regional agricultural news headlines as well. And we get started with regional agricultural news right after this.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
The latest statewide snowpack measurement from the California Department of Water Resources is another indication that the tremendously wet winter might have been too much of a good thing. The agency's readings from 130 snow sensors placed throughout the Sierra Nevada shows the snowpack's snow water equivalent is 61.1 inches or 237% of average for April 1st. The snow water equivalent measures the amount of water held within a snowpack. This year's result will go down as one of the largest snowpack years on record in California. That according to Sean DeGuzman, manager of DWR's Snow Surveys and Water Supply Forecasting Unit. Only in 1952, 1969, and 1983 were statewide measurements above 20% of the April 1st average. A Sacramento appeals court has sided with California farmers on three cases related to water quality regulations, which environmental groups had challenged for years. In deciding cases in favor of the California Farm Bureau and the California State Water Resources Control Board, the Third District Court of Appeal upheld the Central Valley's Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program. Environmental groups had challenged the program as insufficient under the law. The program is intended to protect water quality in the eastern San Joaquin watershed. Church Brothers Farms has announced it has completed the purchase of additional real estate on Hanson Street and on Airport Boulevard in Salinas. Combined, the properties include approximately 200,000 square feet of warehouse space on 18 acres of land. Built in 1978, the buildings have previously been used for produce processing, cold storage, and distribution. The company plans to immediately begin upgrades and improvements to the properties, which will be used for storage and shipping of its products. Distribution activities are expected to begin in the fall of 2023, with a long-term goal of accommodating all of Church Brothers Farms' shipping needs. The property's central Salinas location is beneficial in multiple ways. In addition to increasing Church Brothers Farms' shipping capacity, proximity to where commodities are being harvested will reduce cut to cool and transmit times. The orientation of the properties allows for more efficient logistics and loading and offers customers a convenient pickup location immediately off the California 101 freeway, the major north-south artery of California's Central Coast. Church Brothers Farms will continue to utilize its San Juan Bautista facility for value-added processing with additional shipping capacity as needed. California Giant Berry Farms has announced the appointment of Justin Costa as Director of Sustainability. Costa will play a pivotal role in the expansion of California Giant's corporate sustainability program that will extend to its grower partners throughout the Americas. Costa has held several sustainability-focused positions of increased scope and responsibility throughout his 18-plus year career, including working as an environmental consultant in Latin America and holding management positions in the federal government and food industry. He joins California Giant Berry Farms from Foster Poultry Farms, where he was the Director of Environmental Affairs and Sustainability. There, Costa established the company's vision and strategy for their sustainability and environmental programs at over 200 facilities in seven different states. He holds an MS in Environmental Management and an undergraduate degree in Political Science from the University of San Francisco.
In January, the National Organic Program previewed the Strengthening Organic Enforcement Final Rule. Ginny Lester Moffitt, Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs at USDA, tells us about the National Organic Program and the impacts of the Strengthening Organic Enforcement Rule.
So USDA regulates organic agriculture through the National Organic Program, the NOP, which is under the Agricultural Marketing Services. And so since 2002, actually in 1990, Congress gave the authority to USDA through through legislation then to establish both the NOP as far as well as legislation for regulating organic agriculture through clear standards so that there's a level playing field for organic farmers and businesses throughout oversight, accreditation through third-party certifiers or third-party agents. And so since 2002, NOP has established those standards and regulates organic agriculture. These standards are continuously updated as an important part, just as agriculture is always changing and growing and adapting, organic is as well. And so what's an important part is the National Organic Standards Board meets very frequently throughout the year, three times a year, to really start to provide feedback to USDA on updates to organic standards, what are appropriate inputs for organic, as well as all the other pieces to that. So continuous improvement is a key part of that. And so that is what the strengthening organic enforcement is, as part of that continuous improvement feedback from both the National Organic Standards Board, as well as in the 2018 Farm Bill, Congress had some updates that they wanted to direct USDA to make. And so that the strengthening organic enforcement also incorporates that.
The Strengthening Organic Enforcement Rule is the biggest update to organic regulation since the original Act in 1990. The rule provides a significant increase in oversight and enforcement authority.
The Strengthening Organic Enforcement it's a final rule. It supports existing organic regulations by providing more oversight and enforcement authority for the growing organic market. The updated regulations give us more ways to protect the organic label, improve farm-to-market traceability of organic products, regardless of how far they travel in the supply chain. So really looking at imports that are coming in, as well as all of the different touch points in the beautiful yet complex agricultural supply chain, making sure that we're really ensuring that all players in the organic supply chain are being regulated under the National Organic Program.
This rule seeks to protect and positively impact organic growers. Organic fraud is an issue that can harm growers' reputations.
Some of the things really key to it, how it protects especially organic farmers, is through leveling the playing field. Organic fraud damages the reputation of organic for farmers and businesses that produce and sell legitimate organic products. The Strengthening Organic Enforcement Rule will protect these legitimate operations by providing USDA and certifiers with increased authority to target oversight and enforcement activities that identify and punish fraud. There, I want to just make a key note, is key is that we do identify fraud when it is happening now. What this strengthening organic enforcement will do is make sure that more actors, more players in the organic supply chain have upfront knowledge of what is required throughout the organic supply chain for organic production, organic standards, organic certification, so that we're catching fraud earlier on in the process rather than catching it at later in the process.
Moffitt tells us more about the many ways the organic program is improving to protect the organic brand.
So the key thing is, right, again, the continuous improvement that organic standards are based on, making sure that we have amendments that are constantly getting updated through the organic supply chain to build consumer confidence in the organic label. We're always strengthening our organic control systems, providing robust enforcement of regulations. We're continuously doing training for certifiers, and certifiers are continuously working with organic producers on updating the different pieces of that. In addition, the National Organic Program maintains an organic database, an organic integrity database, a certified organic operation, so that consumers can use that to check on organic status of operations that are making organic claims. As well, USDA organic seal is an important part of what consumers are looking for, right, when they are buying organic. And so recently we just had the organic seal be protected through federal regulation overseen by the NOP through the trademark process as well. So we are making sure that anything that is coming in through our borders is also through the trademark process being vetted as certified organic as well.
Continuous enhancement of the standards is key in protecting organic producers as well as improving consumer confidence. Moffitt said she and her team are excited about this current update as well as those that are to come.
We're excited about these updates to the standards. We have more standards that that we're working on now as well as more updates to the organic system. Again, really based on continuous improvement, making sure that organic has the strong backing that consumers and farmers look to when they're buying and growing organic products.
This is Kylie Harlan reporting for My Ag Life.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says above normal temperatures and dry conditions will cover most of the country, minus one exception, during a period of April 11th through the 17th, also sharing details on upcoming California weather in this report.
Really looks like a quite warm mid-April period across the country with significantly above normal temperatures across much of the central and eastern United States. The only area that may be a bit on the cool side along and near the Pacific coast, Washington, Oregon, and California expecting slightly below normal temperatures. With that temperature pattern, we expect to see relatively dry conditions across many parts of the country. In fact, much of the central and eastern United States expecting near or below normal precipitation in mid-April. The exceptions will be potentially the south central United States. That would be good news if we saw above normal rainfall in parts of Texas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. And the other area that may remain on the wet side, the Pacific coast states, California, Oregon, Washington State, perhaps extending eastward along the Canadian border to the Northern Rockies and into Montana.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. Chris Galen, National Milk Producers Federation Senior Vice President of Member Services and Strategic Initiatives, says that it is time for milk pricing reform.
The last time that the federal milk marketing order system was updated was back in 2000. And a lot of the people who are drinking milk today weren't even born then. And so it's high time for a refresh. This is something we've been working on at National Milk for almost a year and a half now, getting input from our members, from farmers and cooperative experts about the milk pricing system. And a lot of it boils down to, Lori, making certain that farmers get the best price, the right price for their milk, and then also making certain that cooperative-owned processing plants also have the right price for what they do when they take raw milk and turn it into things like cheese and butter.
National Milk Producers is submitting recommendations to USDA.
And that is going to be submitted to the U.S. Department of Agriculture here in April. And then what that will do is trigger a process for USDA to consider having a national hearing on these recommendations. Now, the other thing that's happening in parallel is that the Dairy Processors Trade Association, the International Dairy Food Association, has also submitted a request to USDA for a hearing. Theirs deals just with the issue of what are called make allowances, which are the margins that processing plants get under the federal pricing system.
Galen explains that the lengthy USDA hearing will feature industry witnesses and evidence in order to prove why the milk pricing reform is needed.
You know, ultimately, Lori, a lot of this boils down to what are the right numbers for formulas that affect farmer milk prices and what processors pay to producers.
Chris Galen, Senior Vice President of Member Services and Strategic Initiatives with the National Milk Producers Federation. Purdue University released an updated Ag Economy Barometer for March. Jim Mintert has the breakdown.
Thanks for joining us for the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer Survey results from the March 2023 survey. I'm Jim Mintert, Director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. I'm going to share with you the highlights from this month's survey. The Ag Economy Barometer Index was 117 this month. That's down 8 points compared to last month's reading of 125, but that was still up 4 points compared to a year earlier. We looked at the index of current conditions and the index of future expectations. Current conditions index was down 8 points compared to last month, and that left it 11% higher than it was in March 2022. The future expectations index was down 8 points compared to last month. That was no change compared to March of 2022. The Farm Financial Performance Index reading of 86 was unchanged from last month and really just 1 point below a year ago. When we followed up and asked producers what their biggest concerns are for their farming operation in the upcoming year, higher input costs remain the number one concern. But compared to results we received last summer and early fall, the percentage of producers concerned about rising interest rates has increased since last summer. Fewer producers appear to be worried about input availability than last summer, but more producers are concerned about the risk of lower crop and/or livestock prices than what we observed last summer. This month's Farm Capital Investment Index reading of 42 was down 1 point compared to last month, but was up 6 points compared to a year ago. However, when you compare the results to 2 years ago, the index remains 52% below its level of 2 years ago. And we followed up and asked producers who said now is a bad time to make large investments in their farming operation and asked them what their primary reason was. The percentage of producers pointing to higher interest rates as a concern has been rising over time. And March was the first month that more producers chose rising interest rates than increasing prices as a reason why now is a bad time to make large investments. The short-term farmland value expectation index was down 6 points this month to a reading of 113 compared to 119 last month. The long-term index, however, was actually up 5 points compared to February, but remained 4 points lower than it was 1 year ago. Look at the responses to the short-term farmland price expectation question. You can tell that overall sentiment is still positive, but the percentage of producers who expect values to decline in the next year continues to rise. This month, 20% of the producers in the survey said they expect lower values in the next 12 months, compared to just 14% that felt that way last month. This month's survey included questions about producers' perspectives on both the ethanol industry and the renewable diesel industry. In this month's survey, just 25% of the producers said they expect to see a larger ethanol industry 5 years from now than what we have today. But when you contrast those results with respect to expectations for renewable diesel, 46% of the producers in the survey said they think the renewable diesel industry will be significantly larger 5 years from now than it is today. And we followed up and asked producers what they thought the impact of the renewable diesel industry would be on prices they receive for soybeans. And producers are relatively optimistic about renewable diesel's impact on soybean prices. Two-thirds of the producers in this month's survey said they expect renewable diesel to boost soybean prices by up to $1 a bushel. That wraps up the highlights of the Purdue CME Group Ag Economy Barometer March 2023 survey. You can get the full report on our website, purdue.edu/agbarometer. And you can also get more details on our podcast, Purdue Commercial Agcast, which is available on all the major podcast providers, as well as the purdue.edu/commercialag site of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. On behalf of the Center for Commercial Agriculture, I'm Jim Mintert. Thanks for joining us.
The Department of Agriculture has declared April as 2023 Invasive Plant Pest and Disease Awareness Month. The outreach effort is dedicated to highlighting the impact of invasive plant pests and diseases on plants nationwide. The campaign also seeks to inform Americans on how they can help reduce the spread of invasive plant pests. Each year, invasive insects and plant diseases cause an estimated $40 billion in damages to plants, including key agricultural crops. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack says this spring, familiarize yourself with the invasive pest quarantines in your area and do your part to avoid inadvertently moving invasive pests and plant diseases to new areas. Non-native plant pests can hitchhike in untreated firewood, attach themselves to cars, boats, and other outdoor surfaces, or take a ride in the mail. They can travel to new areas on agricultural materials such as soil, seeds, homegrown produce, and plants. FMC Corporation and the Halo Trust have announced a new collaboration to improve farm safety in Ukraine. Under its Cultivating Freedom campaign, FMC will donate 3% of its 2023 sales revenue in Ukraine to significantly expand the Halo Trust's demining efforts. With the funding, the Halo Trust will be able to increase its capacity to remove landmines from Ukrainian farms. FMC President and CEO Mark Douglas says the project not only ensures Ukrainian farmers can safely return to their fields for planting and harvest, but it also contributes to improving food security around the globe. James Cohen, CEO of the Halo Trust, says it will allow them to invest in the people, equipment, and new technology needed for the enormous task of making Ukraine safe from landmines, bombs, and shells. The collaboration between FMC and the Halo Trust will start this month in several communities across Ukraine. According to the HaloUSA.org website, their work helps some of the world's most vulnerable people and countries recovering from conflict, from clearing landmines to managing weapons and ammunition and teaching people to stay safe. Halo saves lives and restores confidence, helping displaced families return home and rebuild their lives.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.